Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from deep east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee.
Birthday today. Those of you remember Walt Disney's Davy Crockett and Fess Parker paid in that role, coonskin cap. Last week we had Senator Estes Kefauver from Tennessee who wore the coonskin cap. It didn't, that was one cap, even though he had the bee in the bonnet, as Abraham Lincoln used to say, were political aspirants who desired to be president. Kefauver never made it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But Fess Parker made it to Santa Barbara, California, where he made some very fine wines. I think he died recently. Among the other birthdays today, these are relevant and important historical birthdays that are relevant to us. Frederick Russell, he developed the first successful typhoid fever vaccine. Marcus Garvey, a black supremacist, who believed that he started a movement to get blacks to go back to Africa. I think he ran for president, and he died, I think, before World War II. Great actor, professor at Yale. You'll see him in the movie Night and Day. He was gay. He liked sailors. He was a good friend and accompanied Cole Porter. Unfortunately, Marty Woolley liked black seafood, as it was, and Cole Porter, being from Indiana, was a bit of a racist, and he frowned on this, even though Cole Porter was gay. He had a great voice, and his movie is not only Night and Day, where he played himself, but The Man Who Came to Dinner, which is a classic 30s film. Another actress out of that period, Mae West, come up and see me sometimes, boys. She used to say about muscle men, all that meat and no potatoes. I didn't know she was a Roman Catholic, buried in the Catholic Church anyway. Also, that when she was a young woman, she was arrested for, quote, indecent performance. But she wasn't the stripper. She didn't show anything that she shouldn't, a lady shouldn't show or wouldn't show. And quite very funny. And she started with Cary Grant and a great sense of humor. It was a bit ribald, as they say, and sometimes raucous, but she's unforgettable, the great Mae West. Great publisher, famous aristocratic English family, John Hay Whitney, started the New York Herald Tribune, and for Americans who lived abroad or who was traveling abroad, They would get news of the United States from the international edition of the Herald Tribune. I think it stopped publishing many years ago. FDR Jr. was born today. He also died on his birthday. He was the guy that held up his father when he accompanied him on his tours. Yeah, I think he was in the Navy. And then Robert De Niro, the great Italian-American ethnic actor, born today. Sean Penn, one of the Bad Boys, who starred in Harvey Milk, awful film, about a pedophile. As I say, and a lot of people say, who really knew about Harvey Milk and who knew him and who interacted with him, the gay 90s are over. Everybody is tired of Milk. But not everybody needs, wants, or could tolerate Milk. Also, we had Donnie Wahlberg Jr. born today. Among the deaths, again, Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr. He died on his birthday. And one of the most notorious kangaroo court cases and anti-Semitic cases in American judicial history, Leo Frank case down in Georgia, where Leo Frank came down from New York to, I think, Atlanta and started a factory. And a young girl, 12-year-old Mary Fagan, was found dead and believed to be raped. There was a lot of anti-Semitism in the South, and they blamed the Ku Klux Klan, blamed Leo Frank. But Leo Frank had nothing to do with it. It was a black handyman. This is the one time a black in the South didn't get lynched or accused of raping a white child or a white woman. Leo Frank was lynched. The governor of the state wanted to give him life imprisonment. He was petitioned by all the groups around the United States, civil liberties groups. And I forgot his name, but there was a famous movie starring Jack Lemmon. And Frank, the governor, refused to sign the execution warrant. And what happened was he was defeated for a re-election. And Leo Frank was lynched. Just a horrible, horrible case. Also today, Rudolf Hess, the number two man in the early Hitler regime, he flew to England, supposedly, in 1940 to try to persuade the English to make an accommodation with Adolf Hitler. And he spent the rest of his life, the British interned him or put him, imprisoned him, and he ended up in Spandau prison after the Nuremberg trials. He was certified kind of insane. And he died in 1988, and you see him in those films, a young Rudolf Hess, Heilin Hitler. Also today, Ira Gershwin, the lyricist, the younger brother of George Gershwin. George Gershwin died very young, in the 30s, I think he was 36. He died of a disease that can be cured today. I think he had appendicitis or something. But Ira Gershwin lived on, and he died about 30 years ago. Great lyricist. And then we had a case that I brought up with Brigadier Ingle, Muhammad General Zia in Pakistan. Zia came to the United States and told Congress that you have to give us aid. And then after that, he went back to Pakistan, and sometime later, he died mysteriously in a plane crash. And I asked Brigadier Ingle, who had been director of the Pakistan Military Academy and also the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers. And he kind of said, well, it's a mystery, but we think those of us who have been in this, been connected or in one way or another with the intelligence field, think that he was off. But by whom? Well, we won't know. And so General Zia, we still have all that problem in Pakistan today. And of course, it's relevant today, this other helicopter crash, which I brought up to some people that I know. In the past, when we couldn't retrieve damaged equipment, it was scuttled. Probably the most famous scuttling case was that of the Grass Bay in the river between Uruguay and Argentina, when the Grass Bay was cornered by the British British flotilla. Although it could have fought its way out, it was heavily damaged, And rather than let the ship be captured, the captain, who had disobeyed Hitler's orders not to engage British naval ships but to sink commerce ships, scuttled the ship rather than let the British capture it and find all the secrets. Now, whenever a submarine or other ship or piece of military equipment that had the German code books, the Germans and even everybody else tried to destroy the equipment so that the enemy couldn't retrieve information or technology. The interesting piece of equipment, most interesting piece of equipment in World War II that the United States had was the Norden bomb sight. And this was a heavily guarded secret. It's very, very accurate. And I think that when planes, American planes, which were brought down by German anti-aircraft fire, I was told that they tried to destroy the Norden bomb sight rather than let the Germans or the Germans' allies capture the equipment. And then there's a question about this helicopter that went down in Pakistan. It is known that the Chinese had access to it and may have gotten our advanced technology. So the question is, do we still have, or shouldn't we have, standing orders to destroy any equipment that cannot be retrieved, especially in a situation like Afghanistan, Pakistan, or even in Iran, Iraq? So that being as it is, we don't know. Among the other events on this day, in the American Civil War, the Civil War started by the Confederates bombarding Fort Sumter, which was in the middle of Charleston Harbor. Ironically, the Captain Anderson was a Southerner, but he kept his loyalty was first to the United States Army and to the Union. The Confederates did force the surrender of Fort Sumter. However, the Union came back in 1863 in August on this date and bombarded Fort Sumter for August, September, October, November, and nearly 5 months, finally, until the fort surrendered. That was in 1863, 2 years later. In 1896, we had the Klondike Gold Rush. I think Jack London, the great San Francisco author and war correspondent, he went up there. In fact, I think he wrote a book, which later became a movie, and a lot of Americans, Canadians, the Klondike is in the Yukon region of Canada, which is a province of Canada, Yukon Territory, next to Alaska. We can't help that noise, I'm sorry. And then Lou Gehrig, the great actor, a great baseball player, and Gary Cooper played his role in a movie. Gehrig died of ALS, lateral sclerosis. He played his 1,300th game on this date, and he was known as one of the Iron Men of baseball. He played with Babe Ruth, who died of cancer. Great athletes, very honorable persons, and they weren't like some of these sleazy people we see today. In 1945, at the end of World War II, Indonesia declared its independence from the Netherlands or Holland. The Dutch were the first to leave their colonies after World War II, and this led to Sukarno, who was nicknamed was Big Bong, he liked women. He was a neutral, supposedly, and he had a corrupt government. I mean, we can't expect our ethics to be imposed or be practiced by foreign countries and foreign leaders. The great movie, A Year of Living Dangerously, with Mel Gibson, covers some of this, that the uprising in the communist uprising in Indonesia, which was brutally suppressed. 1 million people were killed by the army. A guy named Sukarno and his family was even worse than was even worse than Sukarno. Sukarno went into exile and with his women. And then the notorious Alger Hiss. Alger Hiss was a State Department functionary in the Roosevelt administration, and he was one of the people that helped found the United Nations here in San Francisco. One of the reasons the United Nations is not here, and I asked George Christopher, the mayor, who lived through that period, when I interviewed him 10 years ago, he said that it's simple. They couldn't find parking. And of course, New York is even worse, and people have a very difficult time dealing with foreign diplomats who park all over the place. And I don't know if the New York City police tow their cars or what, but they have diplomatic place and they cause an enormous parking problem. And we're going to play that. Well, we'll finish with the events. And then in 1960, one of the most notorious spy escapades or episodes in our history came to light in the Francis Gary Powers. He was flying a U-2, and unfortunately, he, the CIA or whoever did it, ordered him to fly over Russia to do reconnaissance so that they could give this information to President Eisenhower, who was going to meet with Khrushchev in a summit in Vienna. So that blew the summit, and the plane was, the U-2 was shot down. It could fly about 60,000 feet above the air, but we thought, American military at the time thought the Russians didn't have the capability of bringing down a plane like the U-2, but they did, and it became a diplomatic and a public relations disaster. They put Francis Gary Powers on trial, and he, I don't know if they brainwashed him or what, and they tried to get him to confess that he was a spy and he should ask Mother Russia for forgiveness. Well, he was in prison, and later there was a spy exchange broker deal involving a sleeper Russian named Colonel Rudolf Abel, who had lived in New York, operated out of some dingy office building, and had been spying, for his government. And he was a Russian KGB military or GRU officer. And Rudolf Abel was apprehended, tried and sentenced, and he was exchanged, I think in Berlin, for Francis Gary Powers. Francis Gary Powers died recently. And then also in 1961, in the Kennedy administration, the Berlin Wall, they started constructing that, and among, there are a lot of people who were killed. One of the most notorious cases was of an 18-year-old named Peter Hector, who was killed while trying to cross into West Berlin. Now we're going to play this clip of Alger Hiss, who claimed that he was not a communist. Now this was the Richard Nixon was a congressman at the time, and he had these congressional hearings on infiltration of communists into the United States government. And, excuse me, Alger Hiss was accused by Whitaker Chambers, who worked for Time magazine, and was a communist and was also gay. And they used that against him, and he exposed Alger Hiss. Alger Hiss denied under oath that he ever was a communist, and we're going to play this clip. Let me find it. I've got so many here. This helped Nixon become a U.S. senator. A lot of people didn't know that Nixon later became a senator, and then he was chosen by the Republican Party to be President Eisenhower's running mate in 1952, and it was because of his anti-communist pursuits, using the Senate committees, congressional committees. And this was, let me find that clip. I'm sorry about this little delay. We have a lot here. And I'm still trying to work out this new system here. Where is Alger? Oh, here we go.
I am holding in my hand a microfilm, a very highly confidential secret State Department document. These documents were fed out of the State Department over 10 years ago by communists who were employees of that department, and we were interested in seeing if these documents were sent to the Soviet Union, where the interests of the Soviet Union happened to be in conflict with those of the United States.
Commenting on Mr. Muntz's so-called summation, I would like to point out that the man who calls himself Chambers has, by his own testimony, been peddling to various government agencies for 10 years or so stories about me. I urge in advance of that hearing that your committee to delay no longer in penetrating to the bedrock of the facts relevant to the charge which you have publicized that I am or have been a communist.
I don't hate Mr. Hiss. remorse and pity.
That was Whitaker Chambers, and he was lambasted, but he was labor proven right. Alger Hiss was proven that he was a communist, and he committed perjury for a committee. He was tried in federal court and sentenced, and he later, after he got out of court, out of federal prison, went to New York and became a printing salesman. And now we're going to play a clip from J. Edgar Hoover talking about communists. Let me find that. We had an unfortunate. I've got to figure out how to stop my phone at the same time I'm on the air. Where is J. Edgar Hoover? Here we go. There was no such thing as the mafia. Unfortunately, there was. And it is said that J. Edgar Hoover, because he was in the closet as a gay, that the mob had pictures of him in a dress and in all kinds of other embarrassing attire, let's put it that way. And so that's one of the reasons why, under his administration, there was no pursuit of the mafia. And it wasn't until later that I found out that that's one of the reasons why the mafia was not pursued by J. Edgar Hoover, because they were, in effect, checkmating him or blackmailing him. Let's see what else we have here. Well, we're going to end today. We'll be back Friday. We should have Jack Phillips's advice. He's a retired engineer who trained many of the broadcast technicians here in this area, and also they've gone on to other the major networks, CBS, ABC, and he also taught people at John O'Connell High School, and he offers some advice to would-be aspiring broadcasters and broadcast engineers today. It's not the same as it was 50 years ago, so we'll play that Friday. It's about a 28-minute interview and a video I did with him. You can go to our amicusveritas.org and YouTube, and Jack Phillips is up there, the video, which we did a couple months ago, and we've got about 120 videos up there. So we'll end today with our usual theme, politics and poker. Where is politics and poker? Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Tempo.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met 'em.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find a joker. He's a game for children, he's a game in rough. Decisions, decisions, like
put a pick on a play, not the bet.
Where's the call on top?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Vanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot! That's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Friday at 5 o'clock. We'll try to have our hourly show. This is Peter Paul Brazil. We're ending a little early, getting these phone calls. So thank you for listening, and this will be up in the archives. Good night.